Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had a good weekend. A very good Monday to you. Let me tell you about the program. Lots to get to, starting with some open phones. I've got three interviews we are going to backload today. So I've got two of them coming up in hour number three. I've got an interview coming up at 9:40 Pacific time. So what that means to you and me is you can get through right now. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know Rocket can. All right, so you want to hit me right now. We're coming off the NFL draft. You've got more Packer drama. I've got some NBA. I've got some Major League Baseball. I've got some stuff off the board. We can even recap the Kentucky Derby. It was a wild, wild weekend. Hit me right now, 1-800-636-8686. Also, social media works. You know that. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In terms of the interviews, you know these names, but the content's good. Really, really good. Charles Robinson is all over the Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers situation. We'll get the update from him. That's coming up at 9:40. Second hour is open. No interviews there. In hour number three, Chris Mannix for SI. Michael Lombardi, also in hour number three. Monday is an ATP day. So what's up? How was your weekend? Talk to me. Let's talk about that weekend. Big time sports weekend. In fact, hell of a sports weekend. You had the NFL draft. You had the Derby. You had a UFC card. You had the return of LeBron James. Lakers suddenly have a bit of a problem. Jason Tatum went for 60. I could keep going, but the biggest story of the weekend continues to be Aaron Rodgers and his future with the Packers. Now, if you thought that that was just some one-day flash in the pan, if you thought Thursday was just kind of a one-off before the draft, maybe some weird, quirky play story that pops up, then goes away, then you missed out on that. You were wrong. Way, way wrong. Wrong. That was not a one-off. That did not come out of nowhere. That did not just pop up out of nowhere. That story right there was more than a year in the making, and it's not going away anytime soon. Speaking of the aforementioned Charles Robinson, early Saturday morning, he dropped another bombshell regarding Aaron Rodgers and that situation with Green Bay. And I quote, "The reigning league MVP remains adamant that he will not return to the team under the current stewardship of general manager Brian Gutekunst," a source in Rodgers' camp said. End quote. So, to quote one of the all-time great Olympians and one of the all-time worst singers, uh-oh! In other words, to the O. Uh-oh. And from a Packer perspective, it only gets worse because that wasn't even the full sentence. I mean, you could have just dropped that clause and then called it a day, but here comes the rest of the sentence, and this shows just how pissed Aaron really is. Quote, "and that he's willing to weigh hardline options at his disposal from refusing to show up for offseason activities to holding out a training camp and possibly retirement," end quote. So maybe it's posturing, or maybe he hates the GM that much. In other words, no one is saying it, either on or off the record, but it sure as hell sounds like it's either me or it's him. And if that's the case, how the hell are you going to take the GM over the MVP of the league? Like, I'm trying to think of something more asinine than that, but nothing is coming to mind. I mean, sure, Aaron was the best player in the league last year. He's one of the best players ever. But Gutes is the greatest executive in the history of the world. I mean, there is some crumbs, Kraus type of bullcrap in that, right? You know, that whole players don't win championships, organizations do. Yeah, I mean, sure, players are important, but not nearly as important as the guy who helps pick them and then pisses them off. That's the dude who is most responsible for the Lombardi, not the guy under center. Like, I'd ask how the hell the Packers even ever got to this point. But I already know the answer. They value their GM more than they do their MVP Hall of Fame quarterback. That's how they got to this point. And what point is that? The Hall of Fame QB hates that same GM so much, he's thinking about retiring just after winning the MVP award rather than show up and work with this dude in the same building if reports are true. I mean, if that really is the situation, there is absolutely nothing about that that is good for the Packers. Unless, of course, the Packers really do want to have to see what they get in Jordan Love. Like, you wanted that guy. You traded up to get that guy. You pissed off your franchise quarterback in the process of getting that guy. So why don't you go ahead and play him? And yet at the same time, the Packers would have you believe that they can't fathom life without Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur was the latest one to say that.
I can't fathom not being in Green Bay. So that's where my mind's at. I don't only love the player, but I love the person. I love working with him on a daily basis. I think we all do, from the players in that locker room to the coaching staff. And again, I don't even want to let my mind go there.
All right, so let me ask you this. Which one is it? You can't imagine life without Aaron Rodgers, or you can't wait to find out what life is like without the guy. Because you're telling me one thing, but your actions represent just the opposite. But throughout this, one of the things that keeps coming up is we haven't heard from the guy himself. We haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers in talking about these reports. And yet there he was, with a chance to address them Saturday when he was at the Kentucky Derby. Rodgers and Mike Tirico bump into each other at Churchill Downs, and while he did not want to go on camera, this is how Tirico characterized that conversation.
And as they were walking in, I bumped into one of the VIPs here, just happens to be the biggest news name in sports right now. That's Aaron Rodgers. We've heard of the story of Green Bay and what's going on with Aaron. He's here with his fiancée, Shailene Woodley, here this weekend. He didn't want to talk on camera. I can tell you, I characterize Aaron as disappointed that news has come out of this rift with the Packers. He expressed a couple of times how much he loves Green Bay, loves the fans, loves the franchise. There is a fissure. There is a chasm between management and the reigning NFL MVP. We're just not sure how this is going to play out. I'll watch closely over the next couple of weeks to see what we hear from the Packers side and when Aaron does speak. Interesting times ahead for sure in the National Football League this weekend.
All right, so Aaron did not speak for the record, but there is confirmation right there of the issue. There is, quote, a fissure. There is a chasm between management and the reigning NFL MVP, end of quote. So how big is that gap between both sides? Hard to know at the moment, right? It's not as if words like fissure and chasm provide any clarity. But me being the ultimate wordsmith that I am, I can remind you there is a difference between a fissure and a chasm. Like, is this more of a cleft or a gorge or a canyon or even an abyss? Why don't you let me use some words that we can all understand to accurately describe the situation? Completely jacked up. It was messed up a year ago when they took Love without telling Rodgers, and now it's much worse a year later. Much worse. And as bad as it was when they drafted his replacement and did not have the professional courtesy of communicating with him what and why they were doing it, that was still a situation that was salvageable. It was. When Rodgers went out and he won the MVP, the organization just had to own that, swallow hard, admit to themselves, all right, we were wrong. Dude still has plenty left. Hell, he was the best player in the entire league last year. Let's own that. Let's acknowledge that. And the fact that it's not Love's time yet. Let's acknowledge that and take care of our guy. We made a mistake. He earned it. And according to Robinson, if the team did that, if the team recommitted to him with a new contract and some guaranteed money, because there's currently no guaranteed money left on that deal, that could have theoretically fixed everything. But according to Robinson, the Packers were not really into that. They were not initially going to do anything beyond restructure and guarantee a contract for 2021. So no wonder this dude is going nuclear. No wonder he doesn't want to be there, because they couldn't have made it any more clear that they don't want him there. Not beyond one more year. They drafted his replacement, and even after he had an MVP year, they reportedly would not commit to him with the new deal that he deserves, that he earned. And yes, I know that committing to Rodgers for a couple of more years would mean the team has to admit that they were wrong to draft Jordan Love. But go ahead and admit it, because you were wrong. And then if you want to compare this to the way Carson Palmer forced his way out of Cincinnati back in the day, you can. But know this, that was Cincinnati. This is Green Bay. Green freaking Bay. The old Bengals had a history of screwing things up. That's why Carson wanted out. He was right to want out. He played for the Bengals. I mean, for who? For what? This is different. This is the Packers we're talking about. The gold standard. One of the Tiffany franchises. Not just in the NFL, but all of sports. You cannot be serious with this. You cannot screw this up any worse. You have Aaron Rodgers, the league MVP. He took you to back-to-back NFC Championship games. You're going to treat this guy like this? Again, Jordan Love has not thrown a pass in an NFL game, yet you're willing to burn a bridge with one of your best players ever for that.
You cannot be serious.
You cannot be serious. So what happens now? What's next? As Robinson reports, Packers team president Mark Murphy knows about Aaron's feelings about the GM and, quote, the ball is in Mark's court, according to the source. Ask me, this is Tom Brady all over again in New England. Yes, Brady was free to go where he wanted. Yes, Rodgers is still under contract. But if Rodgers really does hate Goontz enough to retire, then he does have a hammer. So, do what Tampa Bay did for Brady. In other words, do the right thing. Give the quarterback what he earned. Give the quarterback what he needs. Fix the situation. And if that means firing your GM, you do that too. Because your league MVP and your Hall of Fame quarterback is a hell of a lot more important to your organization and a lot easier to replace the GM than him. You probably still have a chance to fix it. So do it. Man, do it now. Unbelievable that it's come to this, and they had a chance to fix it and still haven't. 1-800-636-8686. Packer fan, go ahead, weigh in. Where'd he come out? Because I know some of you think that Aaron is acting like a prima donna. Oh, but you're going to take your GM over your quarterback. Not just your quarterback, your Hall of Fame quarterback. Come on. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so with everything that went on over the weekend, that was still the biggest story over the weekend. I do have a recap of the draft. Lots to cover and lots to go back over regarding the draft. I want to talk about what the Jets did. I want to talk about what Chicago did. I want to talk about what Arizona did and some more things. In addition to that, and I want to talk about Jacksonville and Herb, and the way Herb is trying to rebuild the culture there. And now he's off to a pretty good start, or I thought he was, until Tim Tebow started making the rounds once again. Amazing. And Tebow Nation, before you get all up in here and you talk about what a great idea this is, let me ask you something. Do you know when the last time he played in the NFL was? Do you know when the last time Tebow played in the NFL was? Ask yourself that before you weigh in.
Timothy Tebow.
I've got thoughts on it. How about the Lakers? So the Lakers get LeBron back. It's just a matter of getting AD back, getting LeBron back, give him a little bit of time, get their sea legs, gel. Then they lose to Sacramento. Then they lose to Toronto. Then LeBron leaves the game early last night. You know what? They might not be all right. And they might be looking at a play-in game. And LeBron made it pretty clear he's not about that life. He does not want to be any part of that. And he might be. Let me check some reaction before I go to break. Romy, the Packers and Rodgers' relationship isn't awkward at all.
Awkward.
Regards, people that scream at their significant other in public. Ashley, in Nebraska.
War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones. Romy, even I think that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have a dysfunctional relationship. Regards, townhome guy, listening to the neighbors fight and wrestle. Geoff and Lincoln. Rome, the Packers need to keep their GM and get rid of Aaron Rodgers. Signed, that high school coach who cut 45.
That's bullshit.
Here's my thing again. So you've got this whole thing about, yeah, we've had everybody fly around the country, try to reach out to Aaron in the offseason. We want to make it right. Yeah, they want to make it right, but they don't really want to extend his deal beyond this year. They don't want to guarantee a lot more money beyond this year. I mean, even as bent as he was, and Aaron said he wasn't, but you know he was. Why wouldn't he be bent? They drafted his replacement and did not tell him. Of course he was bent. Anybody would be. But still, not so much that he shut it down. In fact, he went to work. He won the MVP award. So at that point, again, management's got to say, you know, probably we didn't get that right. We thought the guy was done. We thought the guy had 1 foot out the door. Or, even if we know deep down he's got something left, we want to get ready to move on. We want to begin the succession plan. The guy screwed everything up by winning the MVP award. You got to own that. Take care of that. Fix that. So on the one hand, they're telling you we can't fathom a life without this guy. But on the other hand, they're not doing right by the guy. You can't have it both ways. Which one is it? If you really want to start life without this guy and you think that's best for the organization, trade him. Cut him. Do what you have to do. But don't sit here and tell me we can't fathom life without this guy when you can. Absolutely you can. You drafted his replacement. You didn't tell him. And then you didn't guarantee him more than a nominal amount of money. In other words, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Hey, Rome, this move by Aaron Rodgers may seem like a good idea, but it will backfire against him. Trust me. I tried already. Regards, Russell Wilson.
ACL.
Eric in Colorado. I don't know. It worked for Tom Brady, didn't it? And I guarantee Russ and Rodgers are both looking at Tom Brady and how he set that up and saying, hey, why can't that be me? And they're right to think so. All right, we are coming right back. Phone lines are open. Use them. That's what they're there for. Got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for a family business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients from their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke. Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite, and it does come in four amazing flavors, as you know. Old Fashioned, Classic Beef, Teriyaki, and Hot and Spicy. All seasoned with the best spices. And believe it or not, a cold beer's best friend. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag, or load up with an 18-ounce bag where there is enough for the entire team. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
ATP Day. You know this? Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, submit your question. Listen later on in the program. I might answer yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So again, Aaron Rodgers was at the Derby. In fact, there were 51,000 people at the Derby. 51,000. Nowhere near max capacity, but when was the last time you saw 50,000 people assemble during the pandemic? So that was something. And then my guy, Bob Baffert, out of nowhere. Bob Baffert wins his 7th Derby with a horse that he himself admitted thought had no chance whatsoever. Baffert, man, this dude, is something else. And what a gritty, gritty performance by the winner. So Aaron Rodgers was there having a pretty good time, did not want to go on camera. And Mike Tirico's talking about things like a fissure and a chasm. I can dumb that down for you. Jacked up. Jacked up. All right, so how was your weekend? Like I often ask, what did you get into? I got into my second dose of the vaccine. Jana and I did that. We found our second dose. Let's just say it went a lot better for the old man than it did for Jano. Like pound for pound in my fam, Jano is the toughest one of the group. Tough, tough gal, Janet. And it whacked her out, man. Running a fever, bedridden. And normally she's not bedridden unless something really bad happened. The old man, little soreness in the arm. I got to tell you something about that vaccine. Wherever you come out on this, the shot itself is like the easiest shot ever. I can't figure it out. The easiest shot ever. So much so that I think that it didn't work, it didn't take, there's nothing there. Luckily, I woke up the next morning with some shoulder pain, but it's so weird how it's got a different effect on everybody. She and I had the same shot at the same location at the same time, and it whacked her out pretty good. Oh man, I'm feeling good now. Got that second one. Feeling really good about life. Charles Robinson is coming up next segment. In the meantime, we're talking about the Packers. Let's keep that conversation going. We go this time to Southeastern Wisco. He is already a golden ticket recipient. Chris in Southeastern Wisco. Chris, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing good, Jim, brother. How about yourself?
So good, dude. I'm great.
Hey, man, I just wanted to weigh in real quick with some thoughts about this past weekend. One thing that is definitely becoming increasingly clear, Rome, when it comes to high-profile sporting events, Clone Nation is increasingly making its mark. I think most of us love seeing a clone get some gloss at the NFL draft this past week. And just when you think life as a clone couldn't get any better, we saw sport imitate life through the ups and downs of Derby weekend. I know I've been critical and skeptical of Jeff in Richmond regarding his alleged success and opulent lifestyle in the past, but let me tell you something, Jim. When he broke out that bugle calling the riders to the post, I got chills and tears in my eyes, Jim. I gained a ton of respect for Jeff in that moment. Never once did Jeff call in the show to boast that he was going to have the honor of a lifetime. Just imagine how many musicians wish they could have been in Jeff's place. There he was in his black bugle guy lid, his fire engine red blazer that was screaming and ready to burst at the seams, and his stormtrooper black boots. Jeff was blasting air through that bugle so hard, it practically blew off the ultra-cheesy derby hat that TB43 was sporting. The only buzzkill of the derby was related to Cal in Vegas. Not sure if the clones knew this, but Cal had been booked to ride King Fury, a 20-to-1 shot, until the thoroughbred spiked a fever after warming up on Friday, which unfortunately led to the decision to pull the racehorse out of the Derby. Poor Cal. He just can't catch a break this year. Gambling, tournament golf, aspirations of being a jockey in the Kentucky Derby, none have worked out for that poor tiny bastard. War Alvin when he bumps Pac on the way to break, and Unwar, dudes over the age of 30 that still wear team jerseys and ask other grown men for autographs. It's a dynasty, clones!
My man, Rackham, Chris in Southeastern Wisco, continuing his run. He's got a golden ticket, and nobody's going to rip that from him. Rackham. Clone's getting run nationally. It'll be a great deal. The guy that you referenced was not Jeff. The guy blowing into the bugle was not Jeff in Richmond. Who that was a gentleman by the name of Steve Buttleman. He has played his horn, reportedly, for more than 60,000 horse races. Dude, I got to tell you something. If, in fact, that's true, if that man has blown into that horn more than 60,000 times, that's more impressive than Bob Baffert winning 7 derbies. There's your legend. There's your Hall of Famer. Not Jeff in Richmond. In terms of, is there a resemblance? I mean, maybe in body style? Maybe. Look it up. Callan Vegas was not up on... He did not have a mount in the Derby. Quote, that little bastard was not going to ride in the Derby.
That's right.
Did you watch the race? Did you hit that? I got to admit, I hit that race every which way. I made so many different bets on that race. And here's how this went. At the very last second, and I've got three different accounts. I've got one horse racing account, which I gamble off of exclusively, and I've got two other accounts for every other sport. I hit that race across all three accounts, and I went hard. Let's just say, and I've said this more than once, I bet my 2021 NFL bankroll on that race. And when it came right down to it, I had a little bit of money left in one of the accounts, and I'm like, what the hell? Man, I'm going to hit Baffert. Why not? So my smallest bet went on the winner. So I saved some face and some money. Let's just say it did not go well. Quickly, back to the phones. Let's go to Bobby in Des Moines. Bobby, what's up? How are you?
Jim, thanks for taking my call. I called last year about this time, and I got ran twice in a week. And after listening to your show for about 25 years, you'd think I would know better. And after that second call, as I laid on my back looking up at the bright lights of the jungle, I heard a voice inside and it said, have a take, don't suck, so I'm going to go for it again. Jim, last week I heard the cries of Packer fan pleading with management to get Rodgers some help, and they got him some help all right, but not the help they hoped for. More like helping his game show hosting career. Jim, Packer fan hasn't watched a story this close since a certain tight end was spotted hot tubbing with a babysitter. I mean, what's it say, Packer fan, when your star quarterback would rather turn vowels for a vacationing Vanna White than throw touchdowns on the frozen tundra? I want you to listen real close, Packer fan. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, it's over. And Aaron doesn't want to be just friends. Reference Danica. Jim, were Otis and Austin educating the clones on the differences between pigtails and a ponytail during Smack Off 9? Were Coach Dan Campbell and the new Detroit Lions regime? And as the kids
say... Ah, and that makes three.
No. You don't like that color.
I don't like that color.
My man, Bobby, I appreciate you, and I appreciate the fact that... See, you got to understand, for me, I would have a pretty dark heart... And I'd be soulless if I just broke off a guy who said to me, hey, man, I've had your back for 25 years. So I tried to give you a little bit of runway, try to give you a little bit of rope. But if you can't tell the difference between Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, you're not getting through your call, right? That's not that hard. You had a year to think about that. You had a year to pull yourself together. See you next year. See you a year from today. All right, when we come back, more on the Packers. And where that situation stands. Bottom line is this. We know it's jacked up. I mean, no matter who you believe or what you hear, it's a bad deal. It's a bad situation. To me, the bottom line is, can it be fixed? Can it be resolved? Can it be rectified? What do the Packers have to do to fix this situation? And even more importantly, do they really want to? Because if they really wanted to, they wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. Charles Robinson has been reporting on it. We get his thoughts when we return. If you have your own thoughts on it, and you don't give a damn what I have to say, or what Charles Robinson has to say, and by all means, step it up. Phone line is open. It's free. I'm going to give you a big-ass platform. Gigantic audience. Go ahead. Call me. Tell me. Set me straight. Set us all straight. First up, here is a sports update. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Tremendous Monday to you. I mean that sincerely. All right, so I mentioned it was an amazing sports weekend. There was so much going on, but despite everything that was going on, the biggest story once again, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and their situation. Joining us now is somebody who's been all over it, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo, good friend of the program. He is Charles Robinson. Dude, you cannot shake me. You're back. Charles, what's up? How are you?
Doing well. Low-key weekend, right?
Yeah, right. Not much going on. Not much going on. So let's talk about that low-key weekend. You have been all over that story for Yahoo, and you reported, Charles, among other things, that he may not return to the team with Brian Gutekunst as the GM. I mean, Aaron, Charles, understands that business is business as well as anybody. So in your mind, how did this get so personal between he and the GM, and what is Aaron so upset about?
Well, you know, I think the main fracture point was really how the Jordan Love pick, you know, the quarterback pick went down last year, and not being let in on the fact that they, you know, could even take a quarterback. You know, Aaron really thought, hey, we're a skill position player here. This is still a build around me. And then, you know, when the Jordan Love pick was made and he had no idea that was coming, you know, I think he felt like he got jumped. And I think things had already – look, here's the thing about Aaron and the front office. I think even going back to Ted Thompson, who obviously preceded Brian Gutekunst, I think Aaron's always kind of felt like, hey, I've proven that I am a great player. I'm an asset to the team. I know this offense. You know, whether it's, you know, Mike McCarthy or it's you know, Matt LaFleur, I can be an asset to you if you want to listen and I can weigh in on things. I don't think he necessarily wants to dictate anything, but I think he would like to feel like he's being heard. So I think some of it starts there. But then when the Jordan Love pick happens, I think Aaron Rodgers sits there and looks at the situation and says, okay, this is a new GM since Ted Thompson. He's done a number of things now that I felt like not heard in the organization. And then all of a sudden he takes this quarterback. And I still feel like I have a number of years left. It's clear he's starting to transition this to move toward this guy. And I think Aaron in his mind thought that the plan was from Brian Gutekunst to take this through the 2021 season or even the 2020 season potentially and move on to Jordan Love and basically just get Aaron out of the organization. And Aaron felt like, from what I was told, he played at MVP level in 2020. He felt like he changed what that plan was. And even though I think he had some distrust, he was open to when the offseason started, you know, if they want to commit to me, give me a contract extension that shows, hey, you are the starting quarterback. Here's the guaranteed money that shows you are the starting quarterback in 2020. In 2022, okay, you know, that shows the recommitment to me. Instead, the Packers came to the table. They said, hey, we're looking at potentially doing a modest restructure. But he looked at that and he said, look, that's just all that does is guarantee me through 2021. That's no commitment to me. This is, you're still trying to operate with the same Jordan Love timeline. I think he had just had it. I think when he got to this offseason, he had decided that, you know, something's got to be done at this point. I got to make something happen here. And if Brian Gutekunst is going to be with the Green Bay Packers, I want to be somewhere else. Like, I don't think we can work together anymore.
Charles Robinson is joining us. All right, so you lay that out really nicely. Had the team come to him, and to your point, he had the MVP season, so that pretty much jacked up their plans. But had they just kind of swallowed hard and then made it right with him, guaranteed him money, restructured that deal or extended that deal, could they have fixed it? And if so, why wouldn't they do that?
I do think they could have. I think if I'm an MVP voter, you know, and it took me a while to come around on Aaron, but I voted for Aaron. And I think if they had talked to any MVP voters, this guy was going to win MVP. They'd seen how he played, regardless of whether he wins MVP or not. They know the level he was playing at. And I think if they had said to him as the season was coming to a close, the regular season, I think they said, hey, let's talk about a contract extension here. Let's make sure you feel, you know, taken care of. You're the guy. You're the priority. You don't worry about Jordan Love. We're not worrying about Jordan Love. You know, and the team and your teammates know you are unquestionably the guy for the next couple of years. I think Aaron would have been like, okay, all right, let's do this. Let's talk about this. Boom, let's get this done. And instead, that's not how it happened at all. You know, it was, from what I was told, it was like, hey, you know, we could restructure your deal, you know, push a little money down the road to kind of re-sign some guys. But Aaron also knew they needed to do that anyway, that they would have to restructure his deal anyway to retain some of the free agents that they wanted. So he thought, you're just offering me something that you want to do anyway for your own purposes. Now, in terms of why, you know, the Packers didn't just immediately go, hey, we're going to commit to you for the next couple of years. I mean, that's a good question. That's a great question for Brian Gutekunst. And, you know, I know he said, hey, Aaron hasn't said that, you know, he wants me out of here to my face. He hasn't said that publicly. That's a great point. It's a really, really good point, because I think that is a line that Aaron Rodgers knows. Once I come out and publicly say this, there's no fixing this ever. Like, there's no way to get this repaired in any way, shape, or form. And I think the Packers know that. So, you know, the source told me, hey, this is in, you know, Mark Murphy, the ball's in Mark Murphy's court. If he's obviously the CEO of the Packers, the team president. But in a way, it's also still in Aaron's court because Aaron has been very careful about what he said publicly, and that's how he usually plays his dissatisfaction. He'll say a lot behind the scenes, you know, to all these, you know, teammates and friends and associates, but, you know, he's always very measured in what he says publicly.
We're talking to Charles Robinson. All right, so do you think they're both dug in? In other words, is the team not going to do any more than they're doing right now? And in your mind, would Aaron really retire before he returned to play for that team and that GM under that contract?
I do think they're dug in from the standpoint of when the Packers, it became clear to the Packers that he wanted out. You know, you send different individuals, you send Matt LaFleur, Mark Murphy makes the trip, Ryan Gutekunst makes the trip out to see Aaron individually and try to repair this. And you know, I know Matt LaFleur said, hey, he's talked about that trip publicly, said, hey, we had a good conversation, we had a good talk. You know, I don't think Matt LaFleur's ever been the problem when it's come to Aaron Rodgers. You know, but then Mark Murphy tells people, look, there's clearly some issues here. We're trying to work through it. The Packers are sending every indication, look, we will do what we need to do here, but I don't know. It's gonna come down to Aaron. Does Aaron feel like the bridges are burned and it's completely, you know, irreparable at this point, that no matter what they offer, say they offer the multi-year extension that, you know, just cements him as the centerpiece, will he change his mind? And then, you know, beyond that, what are the suitors out there? Like, if it's true he wants to go to Denver, I'm sure Denver would love to have him, you know, but Denver has to want to pursue that, and the Packers have to be open to listening, and there's going to be a price to be paid. Same with the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, the 49ers are obviously off the table there, but I mean, if the Raiders and the Broncos are two teams that he's interested in going to, they're going to have to somehow take a part here and get the Green Bay Packers to listen. But as you said, will he retire? That's the key question here. If he, that's really the options he has on the table now, the mandatory minicamp. That is a big escalation in this. And then obviously if he doesn't show for training camp, another huge escalation in this. And then I think the nuclear bomb option is just to say, you know what, my agent David Dunn took Carson Palmer through retirement with the Bengals to get him off that team. I'm going to get this Jeopardy job. I feel like, you know, I got a shot at this job. I want to be a Jeopardy host. I'm just going to go ahead and retire here and you guys can figure it out. And, you know, he's got the right agent for it because David Dunn went through it with Carson Palmer and the Bengals, and that ultimately freed Carson Palmer to move on from his career after the Cincinnati Bengals.
Charles Robinson is all over this story. All right, so I'm just throwing hypotheticals out there, but for instance, what if this became this kind of weird negotiation whereby they weren't really willing to do what he wanted contractually, but Mark Murphy said, all right, but I'll sacrifice the GM. Like, what if they got rid of Gutekunst but did not really give him all this guaranteed money or the extension he was looking for? Do you think that would be good enough for him? Like, is it that personal?
I'd be speculating if I said exactly, you know, splitting the hairs, you know, what will work and what won't. Like, what's the Rubik's Cube, right, you know, solution of this situation? I don't know if Mark Murphy says, hey, you know, we'll move on from Brian Gutekunst, whether or not Aaron Rodgers will go, okay, that's good enough for me. You know, I'm going to come back. Because, you know, the Jordan Love's still there. Obviously, the guy who selected Jordan Love. But here's the thing. Brian Gutekunst, when he drafted Jordan Love, he did that with Mark Murphy's support. So, you know, Mark Murphy's still there too. So, you know, it's there's Brian Gutekunst, and then I think there's the guy standing behind him who's supporting him, who hired him, and that's Mark Murphy. So, I don't know. I don't know that you know, the GM simply being out would solve this at this point. It's something Aaron's got to speak to. I think this is complicated. It's messy. And I think the way that it came out, you know, on the first day of the draft really speaks to how burned Aaron feels, how messy this is. And by the way, this has been going on for a while. Like, this has really been going on since the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. When it clearly, talking to people in his camp, it became clear to Aaron, they're not going to give me a contract extension. They're going to try to rework this thing, and this is going to be a problem. So we're talking months. before this thing comes out. So if it could come out in day one of the draft, I mean, that speaks.
I would never interrupt you except to say I've got about 90 seconds, so break this down. How likely is it in your mind that he is starting for them in week one of next year?
Man, I've learned with Aaron in the past to he is an emotional guy. He's gotten upset about things, and I'll just take it back to the contract, you know, extension that he got previously. I really thought, you know, things were going sideways then for Aaron Rodgers, and you know, they offered him a ton of money and he signed and everything was fine. So I've learned not to put you know, low percentages on him, you know, coming back. I still think that the Packers are going to play hardball here, and Aaron has to make the decision whether or not he's willing to basically just say, look, I'm done. I'm walking until you, you know, you deal me. So the chance of Aaron doing that, I don't know. I'd say it's a coin flip at this point. I hate to say 50-50 because that's the coward's way out, but I've seen this happen with Aaron before where he's upset at the team and somehow it gets massaged. This is definitely different, though. It's definitely escalated to a whole new level.
My man, that is not the coward's way out in this case. I think that's fair. I think that's legit. He is an excellent NFL reporter, one of the best there is, a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo. I consider him a very good friend of the program, Charles Robinson. Charles, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me, Romy.
Good job, dude. Always. Man, that is a tough one. Tough situation. So did that help clarify things for you? Where do you come out? We are open until the middle of hour number three. Hit me up right now. Hour number two, straight ahead.